Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be together. Thank you, Roger. It is good to be together this morning as we head to what is our penultimate parsha today. Before we get there, let me go ahead and dismiss, though, the youngest among us. And so if you can fit in one of those tiny chairs, you are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. Thank you, Chris. Chris called me up last night and he said, I think I can do it. I think I can sit in one of those tiny chairs. For those of us still here, let's turn to Deuteronomy 32 this morning. Deuteronomy 32, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 148 will be helpful. And as you are probably well aware, the words will be on the screen behind me. As we now near the conclusion of our journey, working our way through the Jesus backstory. As you are probably well aware, the backstory that is the Torah being the first five books of our Bibles, and Jesus being the fulfillment of the whole of the Torah. And so with that, again today, we come to Deuteronomy 32 and the opening line, and Parsha Azinu, the Torah divided again into 54 Parshiot. And so today we come to number 53 of the 54. Number 53 of the 54 Parshiot. It travels actually the whole length of Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 52. Noting that the greater part of today's Parsha comprises both a prophetic and a poetic song delivered by, given by Moses. He is now at his final day of his earthly life. And he gives to the whole of Israel this song, this both prophetic and poetic song, expressing the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. And with that, it is right here in the opening line, then we find this, what is this kind of deep connection to the very life and teachings of Jesus, 32, opening line. It says, we read, Ha'azinu, what is the name of our parsha, Ha'azinu, meaning listen, Hashamayim, you heavens, and so listen, you heavens, Va'ada Be'ra, and I will speak. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. And then we get Ve'tishma, meaning hear, Ha'aretz Imrefi, and so we get hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. And so we begin here with what Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky says is Moshe's poetic plea, right? Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Which on one level doesn't necessarily seem too remarkable. There does seem to be here what is called parallelism. Right? What is this idea of synonymous parallelism? It's a literary device used commonly, especially in the Hebrew Bible, right? Where it's two ways of saying the same thing. And if we go here and look at it on the surface, it seems to be perhaps two different ways of saying the same thing. On the one hand, we have, listen, you heavens, and I will speak, and then we get, hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. But what's interesting is if we go just beneath the surface, we find that it's really not synonymous parallelism because we have the verbs here that differ dramatically. And that matters because normally a plea would present in the form of a command would present in the active voice. This plea, this command would present in the active voice. And when we read here, Ha'azinu Hashamayim, when we read, listen, you heavens, it is just that. When it comes to the heavens, it is actually here in the active voice. But interesting, when we read Ve'tishma Ha'aretz, when we read, hear, you earth, the expression is passive. The expression is, and so we get here the heavens. In a sense, we could say a picture of the heavens giving. And we have the earth here as receiving. Point being, it's in the activity of this the flowing, right? It flows. The active flows into the passive. Meaning, you earth is to be a reflection of you heavens. Put it another way, we could say the activity of heaven is to be flowing down to earth. Which is why it goes on then, verse 2, it says, we read, let my teaching fall. This is some of that poetry. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. Which is precisely what Jesus is inviting us toward. When he speaks these words from Matthew 4 and 17, when he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Or to put it in the language of our parsha, we could say, repent, for the activity of heaven is here and now on earth, coming from heaven to earth. What is our invitation, in a sense, we could say, to live parsha ha'azinu, right? To live the activity of heaven, to reflect more fully in your life and mine, to reflect the activity of heaven. Noting the context here, we'll work our way through it. It begins here with verse 17. We read, it says, from that time on. That's from the Greek tota. And it carries this idea, it embraces this idea of concurrent events, right? Simultaneous. They're happening at the same time. And specifically here, it references the imprisonment of John the Baptist. In Mark's gospel, it is spelled out. It says, after John was put in prison. Here we read, from that time on. Either way, it is important because contextually then, it connects the central message of Jesus to the very real, difficult and painful and challenging stuff of life. For Jesus, it was hearing that John was put in prison, which on one level is a statement about John's condition, for sure, right? John is in prison. But again, if we go beneath the surface, we find there's all kinds of brokenness and betrayal and violence and conflict. Herod, the story goes, Herod divorces his first wife and he marries Herodias. He marries his sister-in-law, his brother Philip's wife. And so he marries her, and then war breaks out between Herod and his former father-in-law. And then there's a bit about Herod's stepdaughter doing some dancing for Herod. There's all sorts of maybe lustful or sexual sorts of overtones to that. And then in the end of this kind of train wreck, Herod has John the Baptist beheaded. And so contextually, again, there's all sorts of brokenness and betrayal. There is conflict and there is violence and there is even perhaps some lust. And in the midst of that, we read from that time on. Again, meaning simultaneous with it, right? And so connecting, what is connecting the central message of Jesus, again, to the very real, hard, painful, difficult, challenging stuff of life. Now, hopefully, not quite like Herod, not quite like that situation, but right, all the stuff that surrounds you and me, all the stuff that kind of weighs us down, all the stuff that has taken hold of us. And in the midst of all of that stuff, then the text continues and it says, Jesus began to preach, from the Greek kairouso. It means just that, to preach or to proclaim. And what to the first century listener would have caught their attention and taken them to as a reference to then Isaiah 61. It's here in Isaiah 61 where opening line, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. And here it says to proclaim, kairouso in the Greek, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. It's kairouso, right? Anointed me to preach, to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. We read this also in Mark's gospel, and then in Luke's gospel from chapter 4, we read that Jesus, he came out of the wilderness, he went into Galilee, he entered into the synagogue where it says that he opened up the scroll, and he opened it to this very passage, Isaiah 61. So in that sense, not only do we find the central message of Jesus deeply connected right to the very difficult, painful, hard stuff of life, we also find it here deeply now connected to what is a whole new sort of experience. And we can think Isaiah 61, right? Listen, you heavens, hear, you earth, right? The activity of heaven here and now on earth. We could say whenever the poor receive good news, right? Whenever the brokenhearted experience hope and healing, those in bondage discover freedom, the imprisoned, right? They find release. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. Right? It's the activity of heaven here and now on earth. And then it continues on. Jesus says, repent, metanoeo in the Greek. It means to change the mind or to think about things differently. It's this idea of to think about the world in a whole new way. In the book The Meaning of Jesus, Nicholas Thomas Wright, he says Jesus invited his hearers to repent. In our world, telling people to repent is likely to be heard as a summons to give up personal sins. But in the context of first century life, he was telling his hearers to give up their agendas and trust him for his way of being. Right? A way of being that invites us to give up our agendas and to live more fully. Right? The activity of heaven. And to live it here, now, on earth. For Jesus continues, the kingdom of heaven, what is not a location, but think Parsha Ha'azinu, right, the activity of heaven. It is not so much a location as it is just that. It is an activity. It is an activity, not a location. From author Dallas Willard, he notes, the kingdom of heaven is God reigning. It, and we can think this kingdom, right, think activity of heaven, it is present wherever what God wants done is done. It is the range of God's effective will. God's reign, again, think activity of heaven, is all around you and is from everlasting to everlasting. It is the natural home of the soul. And so from that time on, right, in the midst of all the stuff of life, the hard, the difficult, the challenging stuff of life, the brokenness, the heartache, we read Jesus began to preach, he began to proclaim, think Isaiah 61. He says, repent, think about life in a whole new way. For, he says, the kingdom of heaven, right? For the activity of heaven. And then we read, it says, has come near. Some translations say, is at hand. It is present. It carries this idea of it is within reach. And so Jesus says here, the kingdom of heaven, right? The activity of heaven, it is here now on earth. And again, we can think Isaiah 61. It is here, it is now on earth, right? Whenever, wherever the poor receive good news. Right? The kingdom of heaven, the activity of heaven, it is here now in those moments when the brokenhearted are given hope and healing. When those in bondage discover a freedom, when those imprisoned, not just physically, but maybe emotionally, psychologically, right, they find release. Right? It's the kingdom of heaven, the activity of heaven. It is here and it is now whenever the hungry are given something to eat. Whenever the thirsty are offered water. Whenever the stranger is invited in. Whenever the naked is offered clothing, given clothing to wear. Whenever the sick is looked after and cared for. The kingdom of heaven, the activity of heaven, it is here and now with every offer of compassion, with every gift of generosity, with every movement of sacrifice, with every touch of love. It is here and now. The kingdom of heaven, the activity of heaven is here and it is now, flowing all the way from the Torah, flowing all the way from Parsha Ha'azinu, right? All the way then in and through the life and the teachings of Jesus, and all the way to you and me right here and right now today. And it's that, I think, that then invites us to consider, to think, to contemplate, ponder, even maybe to examine, to reflect and ask ourselves, are we living Parsha HaZinu here and now on earth? Are we living Parsha HaZinu here and now? And we can think again, Isaiah 61, good news to the poor. Right, the brokenhearted find hope and healing, water for the thirsty, food, clothing for the naked. In other words, we could ask, are we living the activity of heaven right here and now? Are we living the activity of heaven right here and right now? Does my life echo, does my life reflect the activity of heaven? Right, not my agenda. Right, but giving up my agenda. Right, and living Jesus' agenda, right? The activity of heaven here on earth. Does my life echo and reflect the activity of heaven? And then we can think again, specifically Isaiah 61, and then we could ask, how is God calling me to live Isaiah 61 here, now, today? How is God calling me to live Isaiah 61 here, now, today? And we can think to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, family. How about to those with whom you don't agree, those with whom you don't see eye to eye? How is God calling me to live this activity of heaven, Isaiah 61, right here and right now, today? And then with that, what would it look like for us to be an Isaiah 61 church? Right, bringing the activity of heaven right here to Tigard, right here to the communities that surround us, right here to we could say Southwest Portland. What would it look like for us to be an Isaiah 61 church right here, right now, right where we live? Ha'azinu, Hasham Mayim, Va'ada Beira, Beitishma, Ha'aretz Imrefi. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth.